Paul is talking about how we just agree with that provision that he makes for us. One of the things that I remember coming up here and saying, and I want to kind of make a little bit more clearly, that kind of struck to me the other night, is that I said, you know, the freedom in that is that really all you do is you just seek to please the Lord. And that's it. And what is pleasing to the Lord?
Faith.
Faith? Just pretty much really believing Him at His Word.
Right.
And that's pleasing unto Him. I mean, because what it says, without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. So you don't love Him, you can't please Him in this flesh. No, you just please Him because you believe His Word. You trust in what He has done for you. You know, what does Paul write to Timothy? He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I know that's just one we just need to hang on to. We get caught up in so many other things. And I think we'll just turn to Timothy for a second here. 1 Timothy, I think 2. No, it's actually 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now just that phrase right there, I could just probably just take that first scripture and take that and just shove it in my mind and in my heart. Because that is the only thing that I really need to be strong is believing on Jesus Christ and what He has done for me and agreeing Him in that. Agreeing with Him in that. Because there's so many things that are said against me. There's so many things that I've done in the past. There's so many things that I have not done that has been not pleasing unto the Lord. But that's where I got to count fully and solely on what He has done for me and trust in that covering that He has done. Because that's all I got. And then there's so many things that I have that I am in charge of doing that I have no idea how to do. I have no idea how to do. Yet I've been at my job for the past 5 years, but I wake up every single morning going, Lord, have grace and mercy upon me and show me Thy way and how to walk this day. Because yet I do not know how to do it in this flesh. But with You, I can do it. And with Your grace, I can do it. And it's an interesting thing because I can step out. And if I can step out throughout that day and I can see the messes that go rolling down the line and, you know, in the shop and the everything, it seems to be scattered, chaotic, upside down. But in the midst of that, I need to what? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not leaning on my own understanding, but trusting in His grace and mercy to see us on to the other side. You don't know how many days that I have, for an example, have gone to work and going, my goodness, this day is starting off absolutely upside down. It's nothing but problem after problem after problem. And we're not seeming to get in gear and we're not seeming to do that which is asked of us to do. We seem to not be able to get these things right. But then at the end of the day, and I put that off and I don't lean on my own understanding, but trust in Him. At the end of the day, it's one of these high numbers that we have did that we go sit back and go, oh my goodness. Well, praise the Lord. Look what He is able to do in spite of us. In spite of us getting it together, in spite of us doing things right, in spite of any of those things, look what He is able to do and perform. Sit back and go, well, praise God. And isn't that the case in our own lives many, many times? I mean, we didn't come to the Lord on a good day. No, we came to the Lord in a mess and in shambles. Somebody preached us the gospel. We chose him. People said, trust him in the midst of just a terrible situation. And you're going with your own understanding. How in the world is this ever going to turn around? This is a mess. And I think we've all been there. Kat, Jeff, Casey, Brad, Lisa, Paul, Hope and I, Angie, Linda, Nana. I was about to say Lisa's mom. But is that not the amazing thing of our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Where he has took those things that were so far gone, or seemed to be so far gone, that there didn't look like any redemption in this at all. But yet, what did he do? He took that and turned that around for his glory. Showing his power, showing his mercy, showing his love in the midst of it. And then you step out and you walk away from that going, oh my gosh, praise God. What a loving Father. What a loving Father. And yet the walk doesn't stop. You know what that is there for you? Remember the talents. Remember how Jesus is speaking of the talents, and I wish somebody would tell me where that's at. But remember that guy that, he has given one 10 talents, and he gives another 5, and he gives another 1. The one that was given 10, he got 10 more. The one that was given 5 got 5 more, and the one that got 1 was scared and hid it in the dirt. Matthew 25. All right, I'm going to turn there. 25, starting in verse what? 15? 14? And I'm just going to read this down. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents and another 2. And another 1. I'm glad we turned to it because my numbers are already just right off. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give unto him which hath 10 talents. Now, I got a few things going in my head right now. One is the children of Israel back when they were in the desert. And the other thing is that talent that he has given you is what? The testimony of what he has done for you in your life. Now are we going to take that testimony and go tell others about what Jesus has done in our lives and use that to bring others to Him? And saying, look, if He had mercy and grace and love on me, He surely will have it on you. And use that to glorify Him? But are we just going to take that talent or hide it in the dirt and not use it to glorify Him in? Use it to justify ourselves in. I mean, that's the thing. What do we use it for? I mean, you take a look at the children of Israel. They had that same testimony offered to them. They seen His power. They seen Him deliver the children of Israel out of bondage from Egypt. They seen Him destroy the enemy before their faces and paved a way for them. Yet they still did not believe. What they did was they took that talent, that testimony that the Lord had given them, and they hid it in the dirt. But because they constantly murmured, they constantly put evil motive on him. What did that one guy say? He says in verse, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Look at the judgment that that guy with the one talent did with it, and hid it in the dirt, and he justified himself and judged the Lord there. I mean, we were just talking about that Thursday night. I wonder what hurt the Lord the most is, man, my hands outstretched forth to you. I've shown you a new way. I want you to be my people. But you would not have it. You would not take it. You would not receive it. You would not go forward in that which I've given you. And yet you would not believe me. Or trust in me. Do we do the same? Do we do the same? See, we're in no different. We're in no different position right now ourselves. And it's a good thing that we have that story. Amen. So that we may learn from what they have done. You know, right now is the time that we have to take that which God has given us, that measure of faith, to put it all on Him and to trust in Him for everything. Your salvation, for His provision, for everything. In stepping that in any situation, having the faith in Jesus Christ and being strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why? So that He may be glorified and that others may know Him and that your relationship with Him may be strengthened and others around you as well. Because that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? To know Him. Introduce Him to others that they may know Him. You know, back in Timothy, and I'm going to go back to Timothy here. And boy, you know, I really had no idea what I was going to talk about this morning. Praise God, something opened up. Once again, He's shown to me right now, here and now, that He's good. Amen? And that He is far able. I'm not, but He is, and I can trust in that He is. Amen? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And this is the next part that I want to talk about. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Say, endure hardness. How am I going to endure hardness? By being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Trusting absolutely and solely on Him and His provision and what He's able to do and what He's able to perform. And having that testimony, that talent that He has given me and actually using it, remembering it, hanging on to that. Because if He's already showed me that He can do it, why should I not trust Him? I should be able to trust Him. And no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Man, it don't matter what's going on in this life. You take Paul and Silas, getting thrown in the uttermost part of the prison, they're leaping and praising God. Or the other records of where they were beaten and they were praising God, being counted worthy, suffering for His name. They're all about doing His work. And they were just happy to do it. And they had a faith that was in Christ Jesus. That was not swaying. Was not movable. Didn't matter what was going on. And what did it do? It bring forth fruit. So that others may know Him. You can take a look at Paul and his ministry and how he walked in Acts. Many, many, many came to the Lord. Because he knew the testimony of his Lord Jesus Christ. And he took that out. And he believed it and he carried that out. As a soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to be. We're not called to sit here and just be pew warmers and come in on Sunday and be, okay, that's my time I gave you, Lord. No, it's all the time. It's in every situation. It's in the ugly situations. Because even in the ugly situations, it seems like He shows up the more, amen? What had happened when the Egyptians were coming down on Israel? Oh my gosh, they were ready to kill them. God showed it up mightily for them. Look at the situation with you and Brad and Lisa. Ugly situation. Showed up even the more. Amen. And brought together. Cat situation. Ugly situation. What did the Lord show up? And on and on and on we can go throughout people's lives. Let's not be like the children of Israel who fell because of unbelief or did not grab on to the promise of God because of unbelief. But let's be that second generation. Let's not listen to that old man. Let's listen to that new man. Like what's his name? Caleb. That mountain. God promised him that mountain. 90 something years old. God gave it to him. He believed it. He went up and he took it. Not in presumption. It's promised to him. It was according to the promise that was given to him. So let's use what the Lord has given us to walk forward in faith in His name and to show forth that love that He shed to us so that others may know Him. Be that army that we're called to be. Be that body that we're called to be.
Well, good morning and... We're all alone. That thing back there is just not happening. It's not working at all, is it? That's just peachy. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is so important, especially when hardness comes. The only way you can endure hardness, skipping down to the third verse, is by being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what that grace looks like. Because it always befuddles me when Jesus talks to people. He never goes to the place that I would go. They got that woman in adultery. He tells the Pharisees, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let him who is out without sin cast the first stone. I just tell him, get the crap out of here. Or start throwing rocks at them. I mean, turnabout's fair play. That's not the way grace operates. The way grace operates is he shuts them up with his word. Let he without sin cast the first stone. Fine. And he tells her, Where are thine accusers? What happened? And she says, they're not here, Lord. They didn't say anything. And he says, since there's nobody to condemn you, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He doesn't talk to her at all. He doesn't list all of her sins. There's no accusation. And what I was listening to this morning is one more example. That was John 8, but over in the last chapter of John, and the disciples decided they're going to go fishing. That's the only thing they know how to do. We just don't know what's next here. So they go fishing. And then, next thing you know, Jesus is over there on the shore. And he says, hey, y'all got some meat? And they say, no, we don't. As a matter of fact, we've been here all night. We don't have anything. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now he's just engaging these, gosh, they don't even know who he is at this point. They don't recognize him. Now if that's me, I'm going, hey, dummy. But he keeps... these people have made bad choices. Peter's here denied him 3 times. It hasn't been a good week for the disciples at all. A disciple is a student. If I'm in school and I've made the kind of mistakes these people make, the teacher's going to be jumping all over me. But Jesus isn't just grace, but he is abundant grace. He's got grace oozing out all over the place. It falls down and covers everybody around him. It's an umbrella of grace. He is grace incarnate. And the story In John 21, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. And how did he recognize him? He recognized him because he told him where to go fishing. He told him where to throw the net. The net was full. That was the same kind of thing as the fishes and loaves. Same kind of thing. And he just knew him by his word. And what he spoke happened. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. He's fixed them a meal. You know, he's not reading them the list of the errors, the mistakes. That's the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. Who, I might point out, has just endured the ultimate hardness, the cross. But there's nothing natural in what he's doing, because natural never would have gone to the cross. Natural is selfish. Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all, there were many, and there were so many, yet was not the net torn. There's got to be a spot in these glasses where I can see the text. Oh, there we go. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of those disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. He's ministering to them. He's showing them acceptance. He's showing them grace operating. You know, they know what they're guilty of. Peter was, you know, despondent when he said, I'm going fishing. He said, I've screwed up every which way there is to screw up. This encounter with Jesus was to show him that it is no screw up that my grace isn't sufficient for. And when you get strong in the grace that it is in Christ Jesus, then the accuser has no power against you, right? What's he going to say? I needed Jesus' grace for that. I got it. Yeah. Absolutely. I just, you know, the way he shows his love and acceptance of them in spite of themselves, in spite of how they were, in spite of the fact that there were none there at the cross except for John and the two women. Nobody. He was all alone there. I suspect John was probably too young for him to really count. I'm doubting if he was anywhere near what was it, 30 you had to be before they considered you mature man? 30, 40, something like that. I doubt seriously if he was 20 to be guilty as charged of all that we've ever screwed up in our lives. Yet to be able to be set free by being strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Freedom. Set free from the bondage of the absolute certain outcome from all that. The wages of sin is death. And what does Romans say? That we're made conformable unto his death. Now that's Philippians. What Romans does is talk about being baptized into his death, being raised in the newness and the power of his resurrection. That isn't just words. And this is him showing the grace, showing the agape love, so that they can go forth and do likewise when he leaves. Making it really simple, that's our job as well. It's how you show those boys yours how grace operates. How good the Father is. How much he wants you to know him and to know that. With the same kind of, I'd take anything for the boys. I'll take anything for those boys. That's the love of the Father, who gave it all in Jesus Christ, that we might rise with him. He took our place. He who knew no sin. And that's the goodness of the gospel. You know, and even after all this exchange, you know, Peter's gets asked by Jesus, you love me? And Peter answers, sure, I'm filio you, yeah. Like Jesus doesn't notice that he's not even using the same verb, right? And he finally, Peter hasn't yet clued in to what's going on here. He gets total clarity, but he's still wanting to argue with him. What about John here? What about this one? What's it to you? Follow me. What's it to you? And for him right then, that was hardness. Because he still hasn't really clued in to the grace that has been extended to him, no matter how screwed up he got. It really was an assault against their manliness. They ran off when Jesus got hung on the cross. They ran off. Except the kid and the two women. That was it. And there's no way he could have felt smaller. And I guess I'm belaboring that point, but the point is, that's as screwed up as I can imagine ever screwing up. But the grace is extended. His sin is covered. And he's a powerful minister of Jesus Christ in Acts, who's so full of Jesus that they're trying to line up that his shadow may cast over them and heal them. That's going from the gutter in John 21 to the throne in what, 50 days? How good does it get? That's pretty good. I'm done.